What's it going to be like living in the days of Noah again? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now, the question comes, okay, if what goes around comes around, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, and we're in the days of Noah, as I believe that we are, and it's going to intensify the wickedness, how do you live in that environment? Living in the days of Noah, how does a person do it? You know, there are different schools of thought on what we're supposed to do as Christians. Well, what does God say? How are His people to live in a world that is wicked and corrupt?
Noah lived in wicked days of debauchery and sin. And we're seeing the very same pattern emerge in our culture and the world right now. Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve begins his last message in the timely series, The Days of Noah, with a lesson about living in the days of Noah. And Pastor, before you begin the last message, tell us just a little bit about what we can learn in this final lesson that we're going to hear today and tomorrow.
It's an encouragement to Christians today, and it answers the question, okay, if we're experiencing the days of Noah, then how do I live as a Christian when a world goes wicked? What does God want me to do? And so I share a series of encouragements from God's Word from 2 Peter chapter 3 about how does God want us to live in these last days, because the last days, the Lord is very clear, in the last days difficult times will come, and so I can trust Him and be at peace.
Well, we surely all want peace in our lives and in the world, and let's find out about how to achieve that today on From His Heart. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's Pastor Jeff to remind us of how we can and should be living in these Noah-like days. And the message, living in the days of Noah.
Now, we have been in a series, The Days of Noah, talking about that time period back, way back when, probably some 5,000 or so years ago, when God had to destroy the world with a flood. He said that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, and God was grieved in His heart. He was sorry that He made man. He was grieved in His heart, and He said, I will blot out man from the face of the earth, and He did that through a flood. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, yet his days shall be 120 years. And God commissioned Noah to build a vessel, to build an ark of safety, an ark of salvation, an ark that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, a big, big vessel that would save the animals, that had room for people, to save people. And Noah preached for 120 years and people didn't come. The only people that were saved in that antediluvian world were Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives. That was it, 8 people total. The world was terribly and horribly wicked, and it was a hard world to live in. And the reason that the days of Noah are important is not just because there was a movie in Hollywood made about Noah that wasn't anything like the biblical account. But the days are important because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He also said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Days of Noah brought destruction. Days of Lot brought destruction. We can learn a lot from the days and from the climate of the world at that time. Now, the question comes, okay, if what goes around comes around, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, and we're in the days of Noah, as I believe that we are, and it's going to intensify the wickedness, how do you live in that environment? Living in the days of Noah, how does a person do it? I mean, what do? You know, there are different schools of thought on what we're supposed to do as Christians, as believers. Oh, you live in a wicked world? What you need to do is pull out and you just kind of cloister somewhere and you build a monastery and you get away from the rest of the world and you go live in a cave somewhere and, you know, go watch Doomsday Preppers and get ready, you know, and you just do that kind of stuff. So there's one school of thought, you just pull away. There's another school of thought that says, oh, well, you know, just live and let live. You know, I'm just going to live my life. And, you know, I mean, I live in a wicked world. And so, you know, I'm not going to rock the boat. And then there's another school of thought that says, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And so not only do I live in this world, but I'm just going to just go along with whatever the world is doing and whatever the world says. That's what's going to drive me. And that's what's going to govern. So different schools of thought that people have that claim to be Christians. Well, what does God say? How are his people to live in a world that is wicked and corrupt? 2 Peter chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 10. See, Peter had said that people mocked and scoffed about the second coming of Christ. And he says, hey, the reason why the Lord hasn't come is because the Lord is patient. He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The writings of Peter are finished. Two epistles, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, attributed to the Apostle Peter. How are we to live? Well, he tells us. And I want you to notice with me five traits that ought to characterize every Christian in the last days, in these days of Noah that we are living through, in the days, I believe, that have been going on now for some time. First characteristic, first trait, God wants us to live in awareness. He wants us to live in awareness, to know what's going on, to know what the Lord has said about these days. In the last days, he says in the early part of 2 Peter chapter 3, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, making fun of the second coming of Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. See, the last days started when Jesus ascended to heaven. It's the time frame between his ascension and the time he says that I will return. Those are all considered the last days. We know that because Peter talked about that on the day of Pentecost. He referenced the last days. Well, if on the day of Pentecost, he talked about being in the last days, the day of Pentecost was in 32, 33 AD. So, man, now it's here we are at 2014. And so we're really in the last of the last days. That's why he said one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Don't think that the Lord is slow because it's been so long. These last days have been lasting so long. As we read, regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. God is patient toward us. And we are in these last days, and in the last days, difficult times will come. I want you to put that in your notes. Difficult times will come. Underline the word difficult. Circle that word. That word means dangerous. It means fierce. It means perilous. The Amplified puts it this way. Those are days that are hard to deal with and hard to bear. Those are the days of Noah. Hard to deal with, hard to bear, dangerous, difficult. the days that we live in today. Hard to deal with, hard to bear, dangerous, difficult, fierce. Now I want you to this is a little bit of a reminder, but to just get our minds around the world that we are living in and that we are getting ready to experience to an even more intense degree. There will be, number one, vice and violence that we deal with in these days. Vice, what is vice? Vice is immorality. Vice is evil and it's wickedness and it's people doing whatever they want to do. Vice. And we have vice everywhere. Sexual immorality is just so rampant and perversion so rampant and people trying to normalize what a generation before all agreed was sinful and was wrong. You know, it used to be in the church, if a couple were living together and they weren't married and they came to church, they would be embarrassed to stand up and say, well, yeah, we're living together, we're not married, but who cares? I mean, they would know you don't do that, but now it's no big deal. Like, yeah, well, so what? So what? Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. You know, that's the attitude. They don't think it's any big deal. And the world is just filled with vice and filled with violence. That's one of the things that the Lord said in Genesis 6, one of the reasons he was going to destroy the earth with a flood, because the earth was filled with violence. It was corrupt, God said, and it was filled with violence. He says it twice in Genesis chapter 6, talks about violence. You know what the Hebrew word for violence is? Hamas. Isn't that interesting? The word for violence, when God saw it was filled with violence, is Hamas. You can look it up. I'm not making it up. You can look it up. Hamas. Hamas is the Muslim organization that controls the Gaza Strip. You know, the motto of Hamas is this: we love death more than you love life. Super. What a slogan. What a good slogan. We love death more than you love life. And they are committed to destroying Israel. That's their plan. That's their goal. Violence is all around us, and life is cheap. That was in the days of Noah. That's in our day today. And secondly, there will be apathy and apostasy. That characterized Noah's day, apathy. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24, the Son of Man is going to come as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days that were before the flood, he said they were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and they were giving in marriage, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. I mean, they were just going about life, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and not caring at all that Noah said, hey, the flood's coming, disaster's coming, hell is coming to you unless you repent and trust God and his salvation, which was in the form of an ark. Oh, they just blew it off. It's just like today. People are so apathetic. They're so interested in other things. They have bigger fish to fry than to hear about God. I mean, when you talk about eternity, is there anything bigger than that? You're going to spend forever either in heaven or hell. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing bigger than that. There's nothing more important than that. Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 12 about the guy that was all consumed with materialism. And he said, well, what am I going to do? I have so much stuff. My crops have come in so great. I don't have big enough barns for all the things that I have. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns and I will fill up my bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And you are stepping into eternity and you're not ready. Apathy toward the things of God. Apathy toward the things that really matter. That was going on in Noah's day. That goes on in our day. And how about apostasy? Apostasy means a falling away from the faith. Obviously, in Noah's day, there was a great departure from the worship of the true God, because of the billions of people on the earth, you only had 8 who followed Yahweh God. Only 8. Wow. And we have apostasy taking place today. And the Bible warns us about that. Paul told Timothy, hey, you preach the word, because the time is going to come when they won't want to listen to sound doctrine. But the people are going to want to have their ears tickled, and they'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. and they will apostatize. They will fall away from the faith and from the things of God. And then there will be a growing hostility toward true Christians. We're seeing that now. A growing hostility toward people who believe the book, toward people who stand on the truths of God's word. Oh, they're demonized and villainized and called haters and all sorts of other names if you stand up for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who is love. You're called a hater. If you read from the book certain passages, it said you can't read that because that is hate speech. Hey, that comes from the Creator, God, who is love incarnate. There will be growing hostility toward Christians. So the very first thing that I want you to see that ought to characterize a person who claims and who really does have a personal relationship with Jesus in these last days, in these days of Noah. Hey, you need to be aware, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So the Lord says, hey, live in awareness. Second character trait. God wants us not only to live in awareness, but to live in expectation. In expectation. Hey, the day of the Lord is coming. And God wants us to look for that and hasten that and think about that and let that fill your mind. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, and his coming is near, as the scripture says. Now, when the Bible talks about the day of the Lord in verse 10, sometimes we can get confused. Is he talking about one day, like one specific day, one 24-hour day? Is that the day of the Lord? I don't think so. I think the day of the Lord covers a span. John Walvoord, the great theologian who was president of Dallas Theological Seminary for many years and taught there for many, many years, he's in heaven now, but he said the day of the Lord, it begins at the rapture and it goes all the way through the millennial kingdom. And then you have what's called the eternal state. Now, the eternal state, some look at that and they say that is called the day of God. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That's the new heavens. That's the new earth. That's the place where righteousness dwells. So the day of the Lord, it comes at the rapture and it goes all through the end of the millennium. And that's what he is talking about here. And it's a broad span. So there are different things that happen in the day of the Lord. But God wants us to live in expectation of what's coming. What's coming next for the Christian is the rapture. And we need to live in expectation of that and get excited about that, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Now, if you will allow yourself to live that way, it will change you. See, if you will live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight, you keep the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the return of Christ all very close in your heart, it will change you. First of all, it changes your attitude. Changes your attitude about things. It changes your attitude about life. Man, you see all the wickedness going on. And as Adrian Rogers says, you don't have to walk around with headline hysteria saying, oh no, what is the world coming to? You can look up and be watchful and say, praise the Lord, look who's coming to the world. When all these things take place, the Lord says, when you see the wickedness of man great on the earth, then just know that the Lord is near. He is right at the door. And so it changes your attitude about things, and it changes your actions and reactions. Since all these things, verse 11, are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 11 is so key. How are we supposed to live in these days of Noah, in these last days when things are so wicked and there's vice and violence? How are we supposed to live? You're supposed to live a holy life. You're supposed to live in holy conduct and godliness. Now, holy conduct is being separated from the things of this world. It means to be set apart. Where the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't participate in their sins. Now, the Lord sends us to the world to be a witness, but he doesn't want us to be of the world. He says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. You say, yeah, that kind of confuses me. Be in the world, not of the world. What does that mean? Well, it's like a boat in the water. When the boat's in the water, that's a good thing. When the water's in the boat, that's a bad thing. Be in the world, boat in the water, not of the world, water in the boat. You don't want to get the world in you. You want to be making a difference in the world. And it comes about with your holy conduct. You don't participate in the same things that the world does. You're different. You are a twice-born person living in a world of once-born people. It says in verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be? What manner of people? What other world ought you to be from? And the scripture says we are from another world. Our citizenship, Philippians chapter 3, is in heaven. We're not, the world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere upon the blue. We live here, but we're not from here. We're citizens of a different place. And so we're to act differently. We're ambassadors for Christ here. And we're to be different. Holy conduct and godliness. What's the difference between holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct is how you act. Godliness is a desire in your heart to please the Lord in all things. As we talked about in camp, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Godliness is, Lord, I want to please you in everything I say, in everything I do, not only in the way I act, but in the way I react. Hey, and the way you react, you can't control how you react like you can control how you act, right? I mean, I can control where I go. If I, you know, hey, Jeff, you want to go clubbing Friday night? No, I'm not going to go. I can control that. But now you get me out on the highway and you cut me off in traffic, then I react. And when you react, what comes out of you is what's inside of you. And so, you know, you've heard me say before, your life is like a tube of toothpaste. And when you get squeezed, out comes whatever was inside. Now, when you say, hey, the Lord is coming and I'm living to please him and I'm spending time with him, then what is inside is Jesus. And so when you get jostled, when you get squeezed, when the pressure comes, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, when somebody says bad things about you on Facebook or in the paper or this or that or the other or to your friends, stabbing you in the back, then out comes Jesus. You just respond. You react in a way that would please the Lord. That is huge in the last days.
What is it in your heart that spills out when you get jostled? For some of us, that's a pretty convicting question, isn't it? Today, you've been listening to part one of the last message from Pastor Jeff's series, The Days of Noah, and today's title, Living in the Days of Noah. As Pastor Jeff pointed out, those days are upon us again, and increasing debauchery and sin is all around. Yet the world is turning a blind eye to it. In fact, the further away from God's truth the world moves, the more they hate the truth and God, and that means they hate believers more and more. Which is one of the reasons Pastor Jeff preached this series, and this lesson needs to get out to your families, to your neighbors, and to all you touch. That's why we're making it our special gift of thanks this month for your support of any amount. 7 messages on DVDs, CDs, USB flash drive, or MP3 download, your choice, when you make your gift today. To get your copy, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and request the series, The Days of Noah, when you make your gift. Or go online to fromhisheart.org. And by the way, when you do make that gift, we'll send you the series and we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's timely, instructive, and encouraging booklet, Strong Faith for Tough Times, When the Impossible Meets God. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here next time for a chilling and reassuring final message from the Days of Noah series. Join us for part 2 of Living in the Days of Noah on Monday, when Pastor Jeff will again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is bliss, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that. Go to FromHisHeart.org.